All right, thank you, Mrs. Jones, for that song. And by the way, regardless of what category you fit in this morning, you were on Christ's mind. Because He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we all fell into that category. So when He died on the cross and shed His precious blood, dear friend, He looked toward heaven and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But you know what? It was all part of the plan of God. Why? Because He looked beyond your fault and saw your need. And your need and my need was salvation. And restoration forever and ever to a fellowship and relationship with Almighty God. Hey, by the way, has everybody figured out that's what this is all about? God's trying to redeem you back to Himself. God's trying to get back to Him and buy back to Him what Satan stole from Him. And so, you know what? We just need to sit back, relax. Say, "Well, preacher, why don't you relax a little bit?" I'm going to relax just a tad this morning. But that's what it's all about, folks. It's about Jesus. It's about God's love and care for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Because, oh, by the way, did I tell you, He is coming back? And He's coming back to redeem those that are His. Talk about that a little bit in just a moment. Take your Bible, three passages of Scripture. Hebrews 9, 2 Corinthians 5, Revelation 20. Hebrews 9, 2 Corinthians 5, and Revelation chapter number 20. I'll give you a second to find. By the way, you're going to need your Bible this morning. We're going to just let the Bible do the talking this morning, all right? You know, a lot of times a preacher does the talking. We're just going to let God do the talking this morning and show us from the Scriptures a truth that we need to get a hold of. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, would you stand with me? We're going to start reading there. Read one verse, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read a verse, and then we're going to go to Revelation 20 and read a few verses from there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Everybody find your place? Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this," after the appointment, after death, does your Bible say the judgment? It says the judgment. Now listen, folks, don't tighten up on me this morning when we start talking about judging and judge people freeze up on you. Whew. But don't, hey, it's Bible. All right, He said, "Is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, there's a judgment." There's a judgment. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look for just a moment what the Bible talks about here about the judgment of the believer. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. Speaking of believers, God says, "For we," that's all born again believers, "we must all appear before the" before the what? "The judgment seat of Christ. And that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad." So there's a judgment coming. He said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment for the believer is called the judgment seat of Christ, and every born-again believer will appear before that judgment. But may I say this morning that all who are lost without God will also appear before that judge. Take your Bible, Revelation 20. In Revelation 20, verse 11. This judgment is talking about those who have rejected Christ. Those who have put it off and put it off and put it off and die without Jesus Christ. And John said in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were," I think my Bible says judged, is that right? "Judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we've read three passages of Scripture here, all dealing with one particular subject, and it's the subject of judgment. Judgment is coming for every person in this room. Now here's the question. Will God give you a fair trial? Will God give you a fair trial? I think I can prove that from the Bible this morning. And that's what I want you to think on and meditate on as I preach this morning. Father, do your work now, I ask. And we'll certainly give you the glory for the outcome of this service today. We're so thankful, Lord, that you care for us, that you love us. And we just pray that you would show yourself mighty in this service today. And we'll give you the glory for all that you should do in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. All the fear that so many have of being judged. And yet God has set up a system for man to operate on and ordained an entire judicial system for the very purpose of exercising judgment. Matter of fact, you know what? I saw judgment being passed yesterday several times by the Arlington Police Department. Yeah, I was driving down the road and they had some guy pulled over, man. You know what they were doing? Judging. But you know, they had a system to judge by. Now, that guy said, well, this is not fair. Well, didn't you see the speed limit sign? Yeah, it's posted. It's fair, right? There's the sign. You didn't obey. Now you got a ticket. And guess who we get mad at? We get mad at the police. All they're doing is just administering judgment. And yet, judgment happens daily in our lives, does it not? Both at home and in the secular world. It's part of who we are and the world that we live in. You see, judging takes place all around us in just about every place we go. And yet people say, oh, you know what? I just don't believe, preacher, in judging. Well, then may I say to you, don't ever go to another Rangers game. Because I'm telling you, the whole game is filled with judging. You know why I know that? Because umpire gets there and misses a call and everybody gets on his case. But you know what he's doing? All he's doing is making a judgment. And boy, people just hammer him, don't they? He's just making a judgment call. Don't ever go to a Rangers game. You see, referees, umpires, coaches, players in an athletic event, you know what they spend the entire game doing? Making judgments. Judgment calls. Can I say to you, it happens in your workplace also. You say, I just don't believe in going to a place where there's judging. Then don't go to work tomorrow. Because your workplace has to make judgments every day. On finances, on employees, on priorities. Judging has to take place on and on and on. By the way, can I say to you that even the church has to exercise judgment frequently concerning ministries or personnel to fill position or maintenance and on and on and on. Folks, it's everywhere. It's part of the world we live in. And yet, boy, I'm telling you, that's one word everybody freezes up on when they hear it. Let me tell you something. Every person in this room one day is going to face your Creator. And we're going to face Him. And there's going to be a judgment. So for us to say that we don't want to be a part of a place where there's judging going on, we're not really accurate with that statement, because we're involved in it every day. Every day. And what we're really saying is that we're fearful of someone judging us unfairly without having all the facts. Now let me stop and say this. That does happen. You say, well, it shouldn't happen. I didn't say it shouldn't, but it does. There's a lot of things that shouldn't happen that do happen. But let me say this to you. Is it right because someone who frequently abuses God's judgment guidelines, is it right to throw all the rest of us under the bus because someone else abuses it? Of course not. You see, some people are going to abuse the biblical guidelines for judging. Now here's what we need to get out of the way just right up front. Okay? I want to ask you this question. Does God give man the freedom to judge? Yes, He does. So let's just go ahead and get this part of it out of the way right up front. Okay? God does give us the privilege to judge. Listen, man may judge others within the confines of Bible guidelines. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 20. Here's what Jesus said. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So it sounds to me like that I've got to be a fruit inspector so that I understand what kind of fruit's being produced. Am I right? Yeah, he said, yeah, there's from time to time, you're going to have to make judgment calls. Hey, listen, if a man comes at me with a knife, you know what I've got to make? A judgment call. I don't have to say, now I wonder if he's angry with me. I wonder if he wants to harm me. He's coming at me, his face is all scowling, he's got a knife in his hand, and he's yelling my name. I wonder if he's talking to me. You know what I have to do? I have to make a judgment. Yeah, I have to make a judgment call about that situation. You see, some people are going to produce verbal fruit. Some people are going to produce physical fruit or in their actions. And some people are going to produce written fruit. But this is the only sources that we have to judge accurately and respond properly. Jesus said, you know what? I gave you five senses for a reason. For instance, I have come to the conclusion that there are some salsas that my tongue has judged too hot. And the moment I dipped that habanero sauce and put it in my mouth, my you know what I had to pass? Judgment. And Brother Carlos, my tongue said, no more. I had to judge. Because let me tell you something, folks. I love to eat and I love my food. While I'm eating, I don't want to hurt while I'm eating it. So my tongue and my taste buds have judged that that's off limits now. But may I say to you that man can abuse judgment and step outside biblical guidelines. There are people that do abuse it. May I read to you a place in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 15 for just a moment? Moses writing here says, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." He said, "Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." You see, we have to, folks, make judgment calls from time to time. And so for someone to say, well, you shouldn't judge, they're not being accurate. You have to make some judgment calls. You have to. By the way, you daddies, you know what? You make judgment calls all the time about your home. Mamas, you make judgment calls all the time about your children. So Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 23 says this, "It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." The word respect just means this. It means to be influenced or biased by regard to the outward circumstances of a person. In other words, if I have a person dressed, as Jesus said, in fine raiment, and one dressed in poor raiment, I'm not to be respectful of their outward appearance. Amen. And yet, you know what, folks? We're all in this room, everybody in this room is guilty of that. I'm telling you, we're guilty. Somebody will come knock at our door. We open the door, and they may be rough looking. And immediately, you know what we do? Come on, help me out now. Immediately, you know what we do? Judge. And here's what we're going to judge. Am I going to talk to them or am I going to shut the door? Because Jesus said, hey, listen, you know what? You have to make some judgment calls. And so sometimes that type of thing is abused. James chapter 2, verse number 9 says, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. Uh-oh. Wonder how many of us have fallen into that category. Wonder if some of us maybe need to come to the altar this morning and kind of take care of that little piece of business. Yeah! Because sometimes we judge people by their appearance. And may I say to you, sometimes things are not always as they appear to be. You ever been fooled? Yeah, you've been fooled before. Why? Because something appeared to be one way, turned out to be something else. Romans chapter 2, verse number 11, the scripture says, For there is no respect of persons with God. Thank God. Do you know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? You know what that is? No respect of persons. No respect of persons. But may I say to you also that it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. Would you turn in your Bible there quickly? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 31. Let me show you a verse here real quick. You got it? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Hey, you want somebody to judge? Judge yourself. Judge your motives. Judge your actions. Judge your approach. Judge your Christianity. Judge your relationship. Hey, the scripture says, hey, yeah, it's okay. God gives us some guidelines, biblical guidelines, that we have to make judgment calls. Some people abuse those guidelines, but God said, hey, listen, you're even to judge yourself. You're even to judge yourself. You say, what do I need to judge this morning? Well, some of us this morning need to confirm whether we're saved or not. You know what you're going to have to judge. You're going to have to judge yourself. Hey, listen, man can judge the facts this morning about Jesus Christ. Is he the Savior? Is he the Son of God? Is what he did on the cross sufficient for my salvation? You know what you're going to do? When it comes to the invitation, you're going to make a judgment. You're going to make a judgment call based on the criteria and the facts. Either he is the Savior or he's not. And by the way, may I say this? God will then base your judgment or his judgment on your judgment. He will base his judgment on what you judge this morning, because if you judge that he's not the Savior and you judge that you've got more time and you go off into eternity this afternoon without Christ, then he has no choice but to judge based on your judgment. So we do, man is given that opportunity, that ability, that judgment, that time to discern or consider that which is presented in order to come to a conclusion. Now, you say, preacher, who are those people that will be judged? Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Okay, Ecclesiastes. If you find Psalms, Proverbs, go to the middle of your Bible, find Psalms, go to the right, Proverbs, and you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. All right, so we found from Scripture that God does allow man to judge, because we have to have the freedom to judge some things. It's just that we're not to abuse it and judge a person's motives or judge in respect of persons, which means by the way that they dress or the where they live, or we're not to judge any of those types of things. And yet Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse number 17 tells us who then will be judged. Are you find your place there? Verse 17, look at it. I said, Solomon said, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. So does that include everybody? Yeah. Yeah, we're still talking about everybody now. But who here, it says that God will judge the righteous, the saved, and the wicked, the lost, for there is a time. There is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Remember, it is appointed unto men how many times? Once to die, and then what? Okay, so there is a time that judgment will come. Is that right? And every person, whether they're the righteous or the wicked, every person will come under the judgment of God. Let me say, there is no canceling that appointment. You ever had an appointment you couldn't make and you had to call up and cancel it? You're not canceling this appointment. This is an appointment before God Almighty. And that appointment, you and I will keep. There is no cancellation process to go through to cancel my time before God Almighty. But he says, those that will be judged are the righteous, the saved, those who have been justified before God and their sins forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the righteous. And the wicked are those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. There is no escape from that appointment. Would you take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for just a moment? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. I'll get there in just a moment. Some time ago, I had a dear man in our church come up to him and said, "Preacher, I want you to have this." And he gave me a little decal, and you can't hardly read it because it's written in this wild English script. But he gave me this little decal, and I had it sitting up on my shelf in my office, on my bookshelf. And here's what it says. It says, "Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me." Can I say something to you? That when it comes down after death or at His appearing, God will judge. And may I say too, if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," listen now, "which the Lord, the righteous judge." Stop, time out. What's the root word of the word righteous? Is it not right? So God, who is the supreme judge, will judge on the criteria of what's right. He will judge on the criteria of what's right. He said He is the righteous judge. "And He shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." Psalm chapter 9, verse 7 and 8 says this, listen carefully. "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment, and He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." Hey, may I say to you that your life's case will come before the supreme judge, just like mine will one day. And because He is a just God and a righteous judge, you're going to get a fair trial. It's going to be fair. It's going to be just. And I'm going to be standing before the supreme judge who will judge according to that which is right. Right. You say, what all is that? What's going to incorporate all of that, preacher? Well, first of all, it's going to incorporate a will. It's going to incorporate a plan. It's going to incorporate a number of things, but He will judge according to that which is right. You say, well, what's the basis of the Lord's judgment, preacher? Take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 11. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 3. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 3. Isaiah 11, verse 3. The Scripture says, "And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity," which just simply means that he will be impartial. He will judge according to that which is just. "He with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." Did you notice in verse 3 that it said that God is not going to judge by the sight of his eyes or after the hearing of his ears? That's not even going to come into play in your case, in my case. So God is not going to judge based on what he sees or based on what he hears. You know what he's going to judge on? He's going to judge on that which is factual. And guess who supplies him the facts? Guess who's going to be the one that is going to go ahead and supply God with all the information that he needs? You and I. God will judge based on not eyesight, not in his hearing. Psalm 96 verse 13 says, "For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with truth." Take your Bible, go to John 14 and verse number 6. Go to John 14 and verse number 6. You say, what is that truth? Well, let's just find out. John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him. Look at it now. I am. Wait a minute, first, who's the I? That's Jesus, right? He says, I, Jesus, am the way. Now notice what it says next. The truth and the life. Now notice the last statement. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you know what God is going to do? He's going to judge the world with righteousness and with the word of His truth. So ultimately, what we're going to do is we're going to stand before God Almighty and we will be judged based on Jesus Christ. Based on the truth. Let me read you another verse here in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 6 real quick. Romans 2, verse number 16, I should say. The Scripture says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So that judgment and that fairness and that justness of God will be based on Jesus. You know what you have in your hand, a Bible? You know what it's all about? It's about Jesus. That's what it's about. That the word that you have in your hand, it is truth. Did not Jesus say that my word is truth? And if you get a hold of that truth, guess what that truth will do? It will set you free. Hey, the Lord, the supreme judge, the basis of His judgment is going to be that which is right and that which is truth. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's the truth, as He said He is, and we know He is, then basically it's going to boil down to this, the application of that truth. The application of Jesus Christ to your life. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, in verse number 3, here's what He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the criteria, the basis of God's judgment when we appear before Him, it will be based on Jesus Christ. Those who are saved and have the life of Jesus in them will inherit eternal life with God forever and ever and ever. You know, today, probably one of the most sure and foolproof ways known to man to positively identify somebody is a process we go through DNA. You know what DNA is? DNA, I found out, is just simply that which contains the genetic information of all living beings. And may I say to you that when you die, it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You know what God's going to check out? He's going to check your DNA out. Amen. And you know what? If it's a perfect match with the blood of Christ, you're saved, born again. You say, how do I know that? Have you accepted the Lord or not? Is He the Son of God or not? He's going to check your spiritual DNA out. You see, at death or His appearing, my spiritual DNA is going to be examined, and if it matches up with Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus, I'm heaven bound. If not, I'm cast into hell and eventually the lake of fire. You see, DNA is a sure proof way to find out who you're identified with and find out who you are. And may I say to you, if you have Christ this morning, it's going to match up perfectly because it's the blood of Jesus that's shed across the doorpost of your life that's going to make the difference at death or, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, at His appearing. Because you know there's going to some that's going to meet Him in judgment and death, but there's some that are going to be alive when He appears. And guess what's going to take place on the earth? Judgment. Everybody's DNA is going to be checked out. And those that are match up with Jesus are going to leave this earth and meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, well, what about those people that don't match up? They stay. Now, those who reject Jesus will be condemned. John chapter 12 and verse 14. Listen carefully. He that rejecteth me, Jesus said, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So you know what we're going to be judged by as Christians and non-Christians? The word. Did you notice it said that the books were open and another book was opened? I believe one of those books that's going to be open is going to be the eternal, inerrant Word of God. And we're going to be judged as believers according to how your life matched up with that book right there. And you know something? There is not going to be any defense for us, because we will have supplied all the information that the righteous judge needs to judge me righteously and according to truth. So you know what? It's kind of going to be at the judgment seat for us believers. It's kind of going to be one-sided, because God's going to have all the information. He's going to have all the goods, because we're going to be judged. Remember what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10? According to their works. Not someone else's works, according to their works. You say, well, who's going to come to my defense? Nobody. You've already supplied all the case. The case is already set. You know what? You're going to get a fair trial, because you supplied all the information for you to be judged by. You say, well, man, I better get with a stick. I better start putting together some quality works. Yeah, we better. Yes, we better. But may I say to you this morning, if you're without Jesus Christ, you will not face that judgment seat. You will not face God at the judgment seat, but you will face God at another judgment called the white throne judgment. And at that place, you likewise will have supplied God all the information that will be needed for a correct and righteous judgment. And it is according to your works. And those works are, have you accepted Jesus or not? You see, the thing about it is, I'm going to supply God all the evidence He needs to judge my life, saved or not, rewarded or not. But we in this room will supply all that information. And there's coming a day, dear folks, either at His appearing or at death, we're going to find out whether your spiritual DNA matches up. Because you're not going to fool God. And if it don't match up, may I say to you folks, I don't care if your name is on a church roll. If it don't match up, you stay. It's as simple as that. We're not going to fool anybody. We're not going to fool God. Hey, why? You know what? Because He's got the proof. He's got the blood of Christ. And did you notice we found out for those who are not written in the book of life were cast? I mean, the book's going to reveal it. I doubt very seriously that there's a mistake in the book of life, right? I don't think somebody's name gets in there that's not supposed to be in there. He's going to judge according to His righteousness and according to truth. You see, God's going to give you, He's going to give me a fair trial. And all the evidence that will be presented will be evidence that I supply. So when I stand before that righteous and supreme judge, everything's going to be fair, everything's going to be just, and my eternal destiny will be based on my decisions. And so the supreme judge will then judge me based on my judgments. And if you're here this morning without Jesus, did you know you can come this morning and you can get that DNA matchup? That if you die or He comes at His appearing, that you can forever be with the Lord? Because that day is coming. For is it appointed unto man once to die? But after this, the judgment. Would you bow your heads with me for just a few moments this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, no question about it, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. If the trumpet sounded or if I died today, I know I would forever be with the Lord. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. No question about it. I know I've been born again. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, there were some that could not raise their hand. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, today can be the day that they can come and put their faith and trust in Christ. Let it be today. There were some, Lord God, that kind of hesitantly raised their hand and maybe they're not sure. I'd like to see them come and get that assurance today, that when they leave this place, that they might know that heaven is their home. I'd like to also ask You, Father, this morning to meet the needs of every person in this room. I pray, Lord God, whatever the need is and whatever the circumstances are surrounding every life of every person in this room today, that You would have Your will and way in it. Bless this invitation time. This is a time that we come and draw conclusions, Lord, based on the message and based on Your word. And this is the time that many in this room will come to a place of judgment in their heart and their life, judging themselves whether they're saved or not, whether they're right or not, and whether their life is matching up with the Word of God or not. Let this invitation be fruitful, I pray. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, I saw several that couldn't raise their hand. I don't want you to leave this place this morning without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, church is a place that we can be honest before God. This is a place that, folks, that we can, before God Almighty, tell the truth. Because this is a place that we get to examine our heart and soul right now. I wonder if you're here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. If I died right where I said, I cannot honestly say that I'd go to heaven, but I want to, preacher. I need prayer." And you'd let me pray for you. Would you be honest and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. Would you pray for me?" Would you let me know that by just simply slipping your hand up? Say, "Preacher, that's me." Just slip it up. You can slip it right back down. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. There's two. Who'll join these two? Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been saved. I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. But I want to know." God bless you. There's three. You can slip your hand down. Who'll join these three? Say, "Preacher, that's me. Preacher, that's me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, "That's me. I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus." Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, how many are here this morning? And you'd say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the scriptural thing to do. Would you pray for me? That's an area of my life I need to take care of." And you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." Would you slip your hand up? Say, "That's me. That's me. Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized." God bless you. You can slip your hand down. God bless you. And you. And you who will join these four, say, "Preacher, I've been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me?" Anybody else like that? All right, one last question. How many are here this morning? Say, "Preacher, I'm visiting the church this morning. We're seeking God's will for our life." Maybe you're seeking God's will for a church home. Maybe you're seeking God's will about something in your life. You say, "Preacher, would you pray with me about that?" You say, "I'm seeking God's leadership, either about a church home or about His plan and will for my life." And you say, "Preacher, pray for me. Would you please?" If you're like that, slip your hand up and you say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." God bless you. And you, and you, and you, and you. God bless you. And you, and you. Anybody else? God bless you. You say, "Preacher, I'm praying about God's will or maybe a place to serve God." Anybody else will join these, probably half a dozen to ten. Anybody else? All right, God bless you. And you. Anybody else? Here's about probably at least a dozen or so hands. Anybody else? Join these and I'll pray with you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, Father, my desire is for you to have your will and way in this invitation. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, move in such a way that it would be evident that the presence of God is moving up and down the aisles of this church. That, Lord, you're doing your work in the hearts and lives of people. Some today, Lord, said that they didn't know Christ as Savior. I pray today at the invitation, the first note of the piano and the organ, that they would move, Lord. We have people that would be willing to deal with them, a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and deal with them about the issue of their soul. Some said, "Lord, they've already been saved, but never been baptized." I pray that they would come this morning as well and obey you and do the right thing. And then, Father, some need a place to serve. They need a church home. Some are trying to seek your will about their life. Would you meet that need? Would you fill this altar, Lord, with the people of God and the saints of God and those who want to come and make it right with you, Lord? Because one day we will face that supreme judge, the righteous judge of all, and give an account of those things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Help us to settle up with you this morning. Save those who need to be saved. Move in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? As the instrument begins to play, and as Brother Shaddix begins to sing, if you raise your hand, would you come? If you said, "Preacher, that's me, I need to be saved," would you come? Would you come if you're a young lady and you raise your hand? Come, we have a lady that will show you out of the scriptures how to be saved. If you're a man, if you'll come, we have a man that will show you. If you slipped your hand up and say, "Preacher, I need to be baptized," you come. If you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, I have a need in my life," go ahead, come and kneel here and settle before you leave the auditorium this morning. God has something for you in your life today. Would you come? Would you come? Whatever your need is, you move. You come. You come. This is your opportunity to do whatever God wants you to do. This is your opportunity to settle up with God. Some of you need Jesus. Some of you need the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Would you come? He's speaking to you right now. as the song is being played, you're already, you know in your heart what God has for you. Would you come?
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home.
You may say, preacher, I